I am Camille Johnson, and this is Finding the Floor. Stories and reflections of midlife motherhood, family, and finding meaning in it all. Join me as I share a little piece of my life and figure out what I want to be when I grow up. Hey everyone, welcome to Finding the Floor. This is episode 159. And today we're going to discuss a little more from a chapter of What Happy People Know by Dan Baker and Cameron Stoff. I used that book last week and I just felt like there was another chapter I wanted to talk about, so this is all good. And how was everybody's Halloween? Like, seriously, we had a fun Halloween, although it was like way colder than, well, not way colder, like it's usually cold in Cleveland, but sometimes you just hope and pray that you won't have a cold Halloween. And the whole week before Halloween, we had this awesome weather. It was like in the 60s and 70s. And even for our trunk or treat, it was so fun, but not so much on Halloween. We went from like 70 degrees to 46. And I think that night it literally snowed in some places in Cleveland. So there you go. But it's always fun. I love just to like see my neighbors get out, or just I love to see people just getting out and being among each other. And nice, you know, I don't know. I just love Halloween for some reason. I think I just love that. I don't love like the scary, yucky parts of it. I just love how you can give out candy for free to people. Like we buy candy, like a bunch of it, and just give it out to people if they dress up. Half the time if they don't dress up. So I hope you, if those of you who like Halloween, enjoyed your time. Our costumes turned out great. It was so fun. We were rebels themed from Star Wars. So if you know any of the animation series like Clone Wars or Star Wars Rebels, that's what we were. So anyway, good times. Okay, so today we are going to talk about the antidote to fear is appreciation. Okay, this is what this chapter was all about. And I just thought it was really cool that I came across this chapter. And I remember last week in my scripture reading in the New Testament schedule of Come Follow Me, we were in 1st and 2nd Timothy, and 2nd Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 is one of my favorite scriptures. It's one of the scriptures I have that is just up on a mirror right in front of my dresser so I can see every day if I want to look at it. And it is, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I just love this scripture so much. And I was thinking a little bit, okay, we sort of covered this in foreboding joy a little bit, but maybe that was like happiness and joy. And this is more of one of the tools of happiness according to this book. And maybe I'll do a really more formal review of this book instead of just like picking random chapters. But he has tools, and one of those tools, he says, is appreciation, and really begins with courage. He says courage is one of the prerequisites for happiness. So he says, courage, they say, is not the lack of fear, but the ability to take action in spite of it. But then he goes on, but where does that ability come from? What power grants the strength to overcome the sick, shaky feeling of fear? And he goes on, only one power is that strong. And he says, it's love. So I think back to that cool scripture, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And here he is going on to explain kind of what our brain does when we're afraid. And it's sort of built into our, like, pretty much every fiber of our being. He says that fear is the product of the reptilian brain, and it is hardwired into every fiber of our being. And love is the product of the neocortical high brain, where spirit and intellect reside. So he says we are constantly doing this dance, he says, between the neocortex and the reptilian brain, the dance between love and fear. And so he says, one way to make sure that we can be happy is to make sure that we lead the dance with love, or what he says, with our neocortex or our spirit. Since love can mean so many things, he goes on to say that what he specifically means is the type of love he is talking about is appreciation. Okay. He says, appreciation is the highest, purest form of love. It is the type of love that can blossom even when it's not returned. It is the outward bound, self-renewing form of love that has no dependence upon romantic attachment or family ties. People who truly appreciate feel the same about the object of their appreciation, whether it is present or absent. They appreciate it even if it is, by objective standards, not worthy of their appreciation. Appreciation asks for nothing and gives nothing. Okay, and this is also really cool because it goes, you know, into what our brain tends to do when we're doing more appreciation. He says, during active appreciation, your brain, heart, and endocrine system work in synchrony and heal in harmony. And he says, it is a fact of neurology that the brain cannot be in a state of appreciation and in a state of fear at the same time. The two states must alternate but are mutually exclusive. So then he says, so thus, appreciation is the antidote to fear. Okay. And then he goes on to say, because fear is the greatest enemy of happiness, appreciation is the most important of the six major happiness tools. And maybe I'll get into those later. But last week we learned about choice and how important that is to like ourselves and happiness. And one of the other tools is courage. And how do you have courage is that you have to have love and appreciation for whatever you're doing, because then that is where the courage comes from. Okay, I think this is so cool. He said his dad used to defuse bombs in World War II. He said his dad had the ability to see the world as a good place, even when he was sitting on top of a bomb trying to defuse it. I just thought that was really cool. And he said that was one of the greatest gifts he got from his dad, was the path of fearless contentment that he walked. He said, is my inheritance. It's worth a fortune to me. So then he kind of defines again, happiness isn't just the art of building a trouble-free life. It is the art of responding when trouble strikes. So then he goes on, Dr. Baker shares the story of how when they lost one of their sons, just after he was born, and how really devastating it was. And it took him a really long time to kind of come back, really what he says, to come back from that. And the only thing that would help him get out of the spiraling thoughts of why would this happen and what could we have done better and all the rabbit hole thoughts that really you can't do anything about because they're gone. He said he would just take a minute and love his son despite his son being gone. He said, I could just appreciate and love my son. And that couldn't be taken away from me. And every time I would do that, my fear and depression would kind of go away. And so he said, he slowly spent time each day just appreciating his son and loving him. And he said, as he began to do that more and more, he began to heal. And it was really interesting. So a couple weekends ago, if you remember, I mentioned we had some general authorities coming to visit for our state conference. And one of them was Elder Kieran and the other one was Elder Baxter. And we got to be their chauffeurs and they hop in the car and they start asking all about our family and kind of how Nate got involved in the church. And then asking about his family, and he starts talking about some of his siblings. And then, you know, he asked like, well, this particular sibling, where is she now? And it was maybe 10 minutes or actually less than that into our drive, because it took like 10 minutes to where we were going. So it wasn't even 5 minutes into our drive. And we're just like, she's dead. And whoa, oh, I'm so sorry. How did she die? And well, she was murdered. Ah, this is my husband's sister, my sister-in-law, who was killed by, I don't even want to call him an ex-boyfriend, but it was an ex-boyfriend and father of a couple of her children. And it's just a super sad thing that happened. And it's not something you lead with when you like talk to people. But I don't know what it was about that experience that just kind of like, here's this crazy awful thing that happened and yay, we didn't mean to start with that. But it just kind of like, I don't know if it bonded us a little bit, because later on, Elder Karen, we were just asking him about his family, and then he was sharing something hard that happened in his family, which I kind of wasn't expecting him to like share, you know, as I'm asking about like, oh, how many kids do you have and all these things. And I just love that both of these experiences, like our family and his family, and just like Dr. Baker, you have the courage to keep going, and that courage comes from somewhere. And I just love this idea that the idea of love and appreciation is the courage to keep going and the courage to keep seeing the world as a good place, despite evidences personally in your life that there are some really bad people out there. Luckily, in our case, this guy is in prison and will be there for life with no parole. But again, kind of being face to face with that makes you actually want to grab hold onto it. And anyway, it was interesting also that weekend, my husband had felt prompted to talk about that experience in a way, talking about Satan kind of similarly as this ultimate abusive relation, right? And that we need to do our best to try to get as far away from him as we can. And how that came up so quickly as we're going through the weekend, I just found quite interesting. Okay, then he, again, since he's like this psychologist and he really understands the brain and all these things that happens to the brain, he talks about what fear can do to us physically. If you remember that statement again from The Confident Mind, that our mind and body, they really are connected. And he says that many more people who have heart disease probably have much more to do with it. Like, it has more to do with their anxiety and fear than it does with what they eat. And maybe because they're full of anxiety that they don't eat well because they're trying to like combat this fear that they're feeling. But that it really can do a number on us physically. And that's why he just is like, you really have to learning how to appreciate and just love things. And he talked about there were these two groups of men when he was working at the Canyon Ranch. And one of them, like, they were all these mid-life men, kind of my age, who had all undergone heart attacks. And they had been like kind of high profile jobs, and they all had survived heart attacks. And there was a group that was just appreciating life so much. And then there was a group that was just fearing death. And he noticed that the group that was appreciating life so much thrived better than the ones that were just so afraid to die and afraid of what had happened. He goes on to say, no matter what happens in life, there's always something left to love, and that the love that remains is always stronger than anything that goes against it. And then he says also that our negative thoughts can hurt our body just like positive thoughts can heal our body. So then he talks about what he tries to get people to do. And I think this, again, I need to try to do with my family, but I think it's such a good way to talk about it. He calls it the appreciation audit. And sometimes when you're feeling a lot of fear, he says, or maybe anxiety, to try to do this multiple times a day. He says you can focus on anything. It could be your children and the love they bring to your life, your husband or grandmother. It can be chocolate chip cookies, fishing, your first kiss, or the time you hit a home run. The important thing is the quality of the feeling. So it's almost like, you know, when the story of Peter Pan, and he's like, the only way you can fly is to have happy thoughts. And it's almost like this appreciation audit, like just take a moment and think of all the things you're just so grateful for, or so appreciative that they actually exist in the world. And there's so many things that we can think about. And if you just take a minute, you can create this healing feeling in your body. Okay, and so I love how he tells us exactly how it helps our body. And he says, the appreciation audit is a form of focused meditation, which has been shown in numerous studies to have a powerful impact upon the balance of the autonomic nervous system. the brain's neurotransmitter profile, the cardiovascular profile, muscular tension, and the site. Its effects last long after the exercise has ended, sometimes for several hours. It reprograms the mind and memory by severing fearful, self-reinforcing thought loops of anxiety that are inaugurated by the amygdala and perpetuated by the neocortex. So if there are times where you're kind of freaking out, your amygdala has taken over and you're having sort of a fear response, then your neocortex is then looking for all the things to show that it's right. He's saying you can stop and take 3 to 5 minutes and or even just name 5 things that you can appreciate. But I think if you really take a moment to think of all the things you're grateful for and maybe some of the things you're like so grateful for to create that feeling to help it go away, because he's saying fear and appreciation cannot exist at the same time. So the appreciation audit. So then he also mentions how forgiveness is sort of included in helping this. Like he said, forgiveness helped him also get over the fear and the sadness and the depression he had of losing his son, and felt himself being able to fill up again with more life and hope. So he says, we do have a way to stop people from hurting us over and over again, even in our minds, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the blessing we bestow on not just those who have hurt us, but upon ourselves. Forgiveness knocks down the walls around love that hate can build. Forgiveness doesn't alter what has happened. The memory remains. The hurt is unchanged. And I just love this part. But forgiveness grants us new eyes through grace and love that see the hurt in a different way. And so he's saying also when we hold on to hard things and we don't forgive, and I think that creates more fear in our lives, that really can contribute strongly to depressed immunity, insomnia, hypertension, muscle pain, colitis, ulcers, heart attack, stroke, memory loss, migraines, and impaired cognitive function. But the worst damage is to peace of mind. It's impossible to hate and be happy at the same time. Okay, so again, we have all these things like appreciation is the antidote to fear, which is why we can have courage. And he's also pointing out that some of these other things like forgiveness help us learn to appreciate if we're willing to let go of some of these hard feelings. And then he says, he goes on to say, altruism is like the greatest, it's almost like appreciation in action. He says, altruism has been called the great paradox. When you give something to someone else, you're the one who feels the best. Giving is getting. And I've noticed this, especially at Christmas time. I mean, it can be so fun when you're getting things for people, right? And even especially when you're getting stuff for people who don't expect it and you're not expecting anything back. And I also love seeing my kids when they've gotten gifts for each other. And during like our Christmas morning, we take turns on who wants to give their gifts. And everyone is way more excited to give their gifts than they are to get their gifts. I think it's just so cute to see them like, look what I thought to buy you. And you know what? When they were really little, most of the time it was just from the Dollar Tree. And some of them are still doing that from the Dollar Tree. And it's so cute, like what they find and how they think of each other. And they get so excited. And I think that is so true, that when you give something, you're really getting. And then I love this quote too, this little paragraph he said, because altruism is the truest form of appreciation, it empowers you to love people even when they don't love you. When I was young, again, this is Dr. Baker, I once complained to my mom that the woman I was head over heels in love with didn't feel as strongly about me. I've always remembered what she said. She told me that no two people ever love each other the same, and that whoever loves the most is the lucky one. Oh, I just love that. And that's so good to remember, is that when you choose to love somebody, you are feeling that love. And maybe you think they can feel that love. Maybe that love comes in action, but you are the one who really gets to feel it. He says, in the final analysis, you can't really feel someone else loving you. That love is theirs to experience, not yours. You can only feel it when you love them. That feeling is yours. It's the best feeling in the world, and it's the one feeling that can always defeat fear and make you happy. Okay, so right at the end of this chapter, he talks, you know, because this book came out in 2003. And so just a couple years after the 9/11, you know, plane crashes into the Twin Towers and all of that craziness that happened. And so he said this woman who lived in Manhattan said she could see out her window two very starkly different scenes. One window she could see Central Park and the beauty of Central Park. And then the other window she could see the rubble of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. And what was she supposed to do? Where was she supposed to look? And he just told her to not be afraid to look at the rubble. He says, don't be afraid to look at it, and don't be afraid to see the broken hearts and the pain and the insane waste. It's there, but there's no denying it. But he says there was also courage and great compassion that was also there too. That courage of the firefighters who must have been feeling fear but rushed into those buildings anyway because their courage and essentially their love and appreciation for human life was stronger than their fear. And then he goes on to talk about how all of us are facing fears every day, and we are choosing to be courageous, small ones and big ones. Sometimes I was thinking, as I've been trying to do more substitute teaching lately, the fear I have right before I take an assignment, like, I don't even know what I'm getting myself into, but I'm going to have the courage just to show up. Maybe the day will be pretty easy. Maybe it won't, but I'm going to continue to try and choose to be courageous. Even like as we choose to love people and we have this fear of losing them, that foreboding joy that we have, but yet being willing to love them anyway. And let us live our lives. One thing I notice is contrast, especially as I'm like driving on the freeway. So, during the fall, it's been so pretty because in Ohio, we have just lots of trees that line the freeway. And so in the fall, it is just this magnificent color that is all around me as I'm driving on the freeways. And I just look around and I'm like, oh, it's just so beautiful. Look at all these trees. Look at the color. And sometimes it's like so overwhelming to see. Oh, it's just so cool that this just naturally happens. And then at the same time, as you're driving by, you see these great beauty of the trees and nature. And then you also see like these dead animals that get hit by the cars that are just on the side of the road. And you're just like, oh. But you see that too, like the contrast of this beauty and then this hardness, but you can still kind of appreciate both. I don't really, I guess, want to appreciate the dead animals, but that like kind of the awareness that it's there. And it also reminded me of right before, I think it was right before my mom passed away, but it could have been right after. But I remember running into one of my good friends from high school. I happened to be in town and he stopped by just really quick to say hi. And his family, they had just found out that one of their children has cancer and they were just beginning to start treatments and stuff. And I just remember we'd gone through like almost 18 months and we'd gone through like, you know, seeing my mom go from, you know, this vibrant person to someone who couldn't even get up anymore. And we had to help her with everything. And she couldn't even talk anymore. And yet through that experience, there were so many, like I'd call them tender mercies of the Lord, or so many little miracles that happened that I just said to my friend, I was like, I know this is not what you want and you're probably afraid. I would just look for the tender mercies and the miracles throughout this whole process, whatever happens, because it has really just been this honor and blessing to go on this journey with my mom. You know, maybe all of us don't get to do that, to experience that in our lives. And maybe we will. We'll all experience something like that. Just that there can be just the amazing tender mercies amongst the super hard things. When we come up upon that fear and anxiety of whatever diagnosis or whatever is happening in our lives, that we can remember those things and go to all of the things we're grateful for and appreciate so we can have the courage to keep going. And with that courage, we can truly find happiness, according to Dr. Baker. Again, I'm going to go back to that scripture that I started with at the beginning. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I want to think of power almost as this courage, power and love to be able to live this life that can be kind of hard at times, but also so amazing. Again, that was in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. So I'm going to encourage all of you to have the courage to just be happy and to be appreciative despite the fear that may come up. I know you can totally do this. Okay, you guys, I'm so grateful for this opportunity to share just thoughts that I have and to kind of practice them in real life, because I honestly had an opportunity to help someone in my life just overcome fear just the other day. And the only thing I could think of was, what are some things you're really grateful for right now so you don't start freaking out? So I know that it can work even in small doses. So thank you guys for listening, and I'll talk to you next week. See you later. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you have any questions, come by findingthefloor.com, where I will have show notes and links for anything I've mentioned today. Special thanks to Seth Johnson for creating and performing the theme music. Come back next week, and thanks for listening.